Ashmit Han, who lives in the city, was driving north, and today he decided to become a Muslim. And he checked from the Google, found us as the closest mosque. So he was dropped here. We consider becoming a Muslim is really becoming a refined human being. So inshallah, Ashmit is taking the first step to become a refined human being. He's also very intelligent because he's becoming a Muslim right before Ramadan. Another intelligent man I know other than Ashmit was Nurettin Baba. So we are going to repeat Amen to all together and then explain what it means again, once again. Amen to Billahi.
Amen to Billahi.
Meaning we believe in one God. We cannot even serve one God. If we had more than one God, what would have been? Ve melaiketihi.
Ve melaiketihi.
And his angels. Ve kutubihi.
Ve kutubihi.
And his books. We believe in all the books that were revealed since the beginning. Ve rusulihi. We believe in all the prophets since Prophet Adam, and we believe between Prophet Adam and Hazrat Muhammad, he sent blessings be upon him. We received 124,000 prophets. Only 27 of them is mentioned in our book Quran, but the same message, the message of Allah Ta'ala, the same message for being a good human being is delivered through the mouths of all the prophets, 124,000 of prophets. Wal yawmil akhiri. We believe that there is a judgment day and we will be accountable for everything that we did here. Wa bil qadri. We believe in destiny. Khairihi wa sharrihi. Minallahu ta'ala.
Minallahu ta'ala.
We believe that all what we consider good, all what we perceive as bad, all come from God. Meaning that there is no power other than Him. All what we see as good, all what we see as bad, is with His permission. وَالْبَاسُ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. There is life after death. Meaning that all what you see, what you experience here is a temporal life. And there is going to be an eternal life. And this temporal life is a preparation for that eternal life. وَحَقٌ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
وأشهد أن
محمدا عبده
ورسوله. And then we finish our affirmation of faith by saying that Hazrat Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is Allah's servant and messenger. He came to complete the religion, to complete the message. He did not come to deliver a new message. He did not come to bring a new faith. The same message of Allah Ta'ala was delivered since the beginning is completed by Him. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, all the most merciful, most compassionate one, you have blessed our brother Han with Islam. You have blessed him with Iman. Also bless him with Islam.
Ameen.
Increase his abilities, his means, so that he can serve for you. He can serve humanity on behalf of you for your sake. Make his worship, make his life easy. Do not try him more than he can forbear. Amin, amin, velhamdülillahi rabbil alemin. Kabulü niyaz, kabulü dua, bihürmeti rahmeti lil alemin. El-Fatiha.
Allahümme salli ala seyyidina Muhammed.
According to the Islamic tradition, the one who embraces Islam is innocent, meaning that he does not have any sins. So right at this moment, Ashmit Han is the only person at this time who does not carry any sins. You should really pray for us. We envy you. So you start your page from scratch. It's completely clear. It's up to you now. So what time is so we have about 10 minutes?
15.
16.
So in about 10 minutes you will have your first obligatory prayer. You know Maghrib prayer?
Yeah.
You know. For people who just embraced Islam, Rasulullah salatu wasalam gave them permission to do morning and evening prayers to start with that. So you can also start with morning prayer and evening prayers, and then inshallah in time you fulfill the requirements of regular, establish your regular prayers.
So
you're trying.
On work, I've been listening to headphone.
Mm-hmm. Do you know recitations?
A couple. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You can say Ya Allah, you can say whatever you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just practice, just to stay, make it a habit, and then inshallah you will learn more. If you sincerely perform what you know on this path, Allah Ta'ala will teach you what you don't. So the important thing is really sincerely start practicing, applying your knowledge, whatever, how little it is. And then inshallah, when you make this first step, Allah Ta'ala will come to you, embrace you, becomes your teacher. What's the difference between us becoming a teacher and Allah Ta'ala becoming a teacher? When Allah Ta'ala teaches, you don't forget. When we teach, people don't listen. So Ramadan is approaching. We have about 7-8 days. As Ramadan is approaching, maybe we should talk about the mysteries of fasting. Fasting, among the principles of Islam, fasting as a worship is one of the most significant ones. It has an incredible impact spiritually and physically. First of all, it's a challenge. You know what fast? How we fast? Do you know how you fast?
Well, I have an idea.
You have an idea. Well, fasting, there are really, according to the scholars of Islam, there are really multiple levels of fasting. The first level of fasting we call the basic fasting. You know, when you purchase a service, there's the basic service, premium, and platinum. There are really three levels of fasting. The first level is the basic, which is really nothing but But this is the necessary condition of fasting. Just to be considered someone as someone fasting, you have to voluntarily abstain yourself from food, from eating, drinking, and sexual intimacy with your spouse between dawn and sunset. It's about 16 hours. And that actually is going to be, this summer is we are going to experience one of the longest Ramadan. We are following lunar calendar. Islamic calendar is lunar. For our worldly affairs, we follow solar calendar. For our spiritual affairs, we follow lunar calendar. Because during the day, we are very much busy with our worldly affairs. So we have two calendars. So according to the lunar calendar, the month of Ramadan moves 10 days every year. So once every 34 years, you actually come back to the same time. So in about 34 years, you will experience another June Ramadan. Actually, I believe that was the year I married. The Ramadan, the year that I married, the Ramadan was in June. Is it? Yeah, I think so. 34 years ago. Yeah, it was 34 years ago. I think so. Yeah. So. That means that I think between 4 a.m. in the morning, approximately, until 8:30 p.m., there's going to be this long summer day where you are going to deprive yourself voluntarily from eating and drinking. This is really the necessary condition. Of course, we really expect much more than that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that many people fast. What they get from fasting is no more than hunger and thirst. I mean, spending 16 hours without eating anything is really a challenge, and then not getting nothing but hunger and thirst is not what we want. So we really want to get more. We are ambitious in that sense. So this is the basic fasting that we do. I mean, when you look at the Sharia books, that's the description of fasting. But we are hoping that this is just the necessary condition to be able to receive the prime benefits. And the prime benefits is really making this body, making this physical being ready, prepared for being a refined human. That is the definition of fasting. Let's talk about first, you know, as a human being, would you say that, would you agree with me that when you look at our functions during the day, we are not really a lot different than animals? I mean, most of our energy resources are really going into our animal functions. And that animal is a total distraction, because really it takes a lot of resources which we need for our main purpose in this life. You really have to think about it. What is the difference between animals and us? How can you differentiate us from animals? What are the distinct features that you have that animals don't have? It's a really difficult question when you think about it. One of the things that we can say about us as human beings is that animals don't have. We kind of different from them in the sense that we reflect about existence. And I haven't seen any bird or a cat sitting. I don't know what they are thinking about, but thinking about the existence. You know, why am I here? Is there a life after? We really reflect upon our existence, trying to understand who we are through that contemplation of everything that is created around us. We really try to seek our Creator. Seeking the Creator. That is an activity. That's actually the activity that we should be really worrying about 100% of our time. But that kind of contemplation, we are so much distracted with all the other things during the day in our lives, very mundane habits, that really avoids, that really blocks us to do our main function as human beings. Who am I? Why am I here for? What is the purpose of this life? Where did I come from? Where am I going to go? The body, you know, our operating environment is really from the physical sense no different than animals. Animals also see, animals hear, animals run, animals have, all the functions that we have. To be able to tame that animal, we need to practice patience. Most of our worships and practices are designed, tailored to tame this animal. And fasting itself is helping us to learn patience. And patience is extremely important. You know, there's some entity in us which we actually recognize it as our personal devil or ego, which is really our animal part, is impatient. That part really hates to delay gratification. Whenever it is in its power, it is extremely difficult for that entity, which is our animal part, to delay the gratification for better, for more, for cleaner. So that is the part that needs to be tamed. You know, that part doesn't have patience. That part doesn't recognize anything but itself. That part does not consider the rights of others. And that part is really making us busy and using us as a slave to fulfill the requirements. Now, one of the things that comes with fasting, fasting is an incredible worship. Fasting restores us. Fasting replenishes our spiritual energy. There's a restoration process, meaning that we are actually, during the year, we are broken. All our habits, all the things that we do to serve this animal, which is in us, all the things that that we constantly use, our habits, are really to serve, to fulfill the desires of this animal, and it breaks us. It creates certain habits. Fasting, when you look at the fasting is a worship, it's really targeting the habits. It's really breaking the habits that we develop. It breaks the habits in the sense that we lose our sleep pattern, the patterns that we use to eat, to drink. It's a complete disruption. It's the complete disruption in life, which kind of it's a shock, actually. It's a shock to the brain. It's a shock to the body. We need that shock, because anybody who has habits, and when we say habits, our lives are full of habits. We the repetitive behavior that we do unconsciously every day, we are like an automatic machine. We do one thing and we repeat over and over again, and eventually it becomes an unconscious activity, which we feel extremely comfortable with it because we don't spend energy in it. When we, from the breakfast to lunch to dinner, all that habits, the coffee that you have, the drink, all those habits are occupying us and demanding our resources all the time. Those habits, unfortunately, also creating a neurological pathway in the brain, meaning that to be able to serve those habits, to be able to continuously repeat, we are really, without knowing it, unconsciously, we are rewiring our brains. The thinking, the way we think is becoming really a fixation. we lose our elasticity, flexibility. Habits are making us lose flexibility because we are kind of becoming a slave in prison of that repeated activity that happens continuously every day, which actually creates this incredible, unchangeable brain structure, and not only behavioral. I'm not talking about behavioral habits, but emotional habits too. You know, you over and over again, you experience something bad with a person. You kind of immediately form that neurological pattern and then fix it. And no matter what happens, you're not open to possibilities. No matter what happens with that person, you fire the same signal. Mm-hmm. You have to break. We have to restore ourselves back to a state where we can open ourselves, our behaviors. We can open our thinking to new possibilities. Our habits are imprisoning us to what we have experienced in the past. We just don't change ourselves. We don't move from comfort zone. Meaning that we cannot observe. We lose the ability to observe and reason about the creation. This is very important. Unless we fix the physical realm, physical self, we won't be able to take the next step to fulfill our responsibility as a human being. The first thing, which actually through fasting we are gaining, is we are first restoring our functions which are broken. Throughout the year, our functions are broken through our habits. The way we think, the way we behave becomes so automatic, so unconscious. Unconsciousness is actually one of the worst states, which we call it gaflet. We heedlessness, meaning that when we observe, when we live, when we experience, we cannot consciously be aware of what we are doing. Fast, the number one thing in fasting is breaking it. Now, fasting is a prescription. And Allah Ta'ala said, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you. Since the beginning, fasting is a praxis that was offered. It's a prescription that was offered from the divine pharmacy. So, you know, like every drug, like every pill, you have to know how to use it. You know, doctors prescribe you a medication. If you don't know how to use it, if you don't know how to apply that medication, you may have side effects. Fasting is like that. You have to do it right. If you don't do it right, it becomes like a practice, and at the end of that practice, you get hunger and thirst, nothing else. To be able to go to this incredible next level of reward of fasting, first, by interrupting our habits, by breaking our habits, we are renewing, revitalizing, re-energizing not only our body, but our mental, neurological pathways. So the fasting is described since the beginning. I don't know, you know, 50,000 years ago. Now, the only now we can understand what it means. What is the difference between fasting and a diet? Fasting is a lot powerful mechanism. You know, and physically we scientists was able to understand what it means to fast. You know, what are the things fasting can bring to your body, to your brain? Apparently, fasting is such a challenge. It's a challenge. It's such a big stress. You know, when you put your body into that stress, I could never have imagined this, but apparently they proved, they show that new brain cells are being developed. This is the response of your body to fast. Apparently, the neurons have to be stressed. I mean, because you know, your repetitive behavior, your unconscious behavior, doing things over and over again, creates such strong pathways. You lock your brain to a few possibilities that you lose your flexibility. You always think the same way. You always respond the same way. You always feel the same way, and kind of you spend the whole life without any possibility of improving. You kind of lock yourself, and recently, and just a few years ago, they started showing that with fasting, when you stress your neurons, the immediate reaction of the body to fasting is neurons starts growing. I mean, the body thinks, hey, oh my goodness, I am hungry and nobody's gonna feed me. The physical being, that is the physical body, loses its hope that it's gonna be fed. An incredible response comes from physical body against this very stressful experience, and then it's kind of tries to find ways. For example, the brain is about like 2% of the weight of your brain is about 2% of your body, about 2 kilograms. The energy that brain needs about 20%. And all the energy that you need by eating, by drinking, most of it is really being utilized by the brain. And then brain always says, oh my God, I don't have enough. I can't think. I mean, you watch me in the afternoon at work. Shock. And then people talk to me. Can't understand, can't function, can't process, panic. You know, you receive a phone call and then immediately they expect you an answer. They ask you a question. Immediately. It's a shock. And then brain actually responds back. It doesn't, I mean, the shock, every stress helps you, every difficulty helps you to improve yourself. After every difficulty, there's an incredible, if you don't die, you improve. If you don't die, you improve. And in this, fasting is in a beautiful and most incredible fashion of refreshing your brain cells, revitalizing your neurological paths. You know, it's extremely difficult to form habits. You know, on the average, to be able to form habits, you have to repeat the same thing for 60 days. To form a habit, it takes about 2 months. Once you have the habit, it's extremely to break it. Now you are kind of you become the slave of that habit. Once you have it, you cannot break it. To be able to break it, you need a shock, and fasting is that shock. And there is nothing more beautiful than fasting to be able to do that. Bring you that incredible transformation. Fasting transforms. Not only transforms your physical body, but you need that transformation in your physical body so that you can actually open your eyes to new possibilities. You can open your eyes and start thinking, contemplating about other possibilities. The habits will be broken. Once the habits are broken, then now you can form new pathways, new form of thinking, new ways of observing things. You will be able to observe things that you didn't see before. That's opening your heart. That comes to the second level of fasting. The first level of fasting, I mean, even if you know somebody locks you, I mean, of course, this is not fasting. This is exactly what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. If you don't, you know, understand why you're fasting, what are the levels of fasting, it's just it's like being hungry and thirsty all day. You don't get anything. Even if you just practice that hunger, even if you just do that but nothing else, apparently it revives you. And apparently, the response to the physical body to that kind of stress is, it it generates, it actually starts breaking certain fat, and that fat, it generates something that repairs your genes. Did you know that fasting repairs your genes? Isn't that incredible? The molecular structure that is being produced as a result of fasting, because it actually penetrates into what is called ketones, all the fat that you accumulate because of your habits. Because of our habits, we accumulate that fat, incredible fat, and that fat is broken into molecules that are used to fix your genes, repair your genes. This is just to share with you how incredible this prescription that we receive from the divine pharmacy. But most important function of us as human beings, Allah Ta'ala says in our book that I am Allah Ta'ala is the light of the earth and the heavens. So we become human being when Allah Ta'ala breathed into us his soul that really made us human being. When Allah Ta'ala breathed his own soul into us, he put that as a light, he put that as a guidance. That's why Allah Ta'ala said, Allah Ta'ala is the light of the earth and the heavens, and he put that light for guidance in us, in our heart. And this is that's the only guidance that we can use to be able to observe his manifestations. And we can only observe his manifestations through our faculties, through our eyes and ears and hands and all the senses. You know, billions of signals fall on our senses every moment. Through processing of these signals, we are supposed to observe his divinity. What did we say? You know, part of the Amen Tetien, Eshhedu an la ilaha illallah. Meaning, you're actually saying that when you say Eshhedu an la ilaha illallah, you're saying I bear witness. I mean, becoming Muslim is to saying that I am going to be a witness. A blind man cannot be a witness. A deaf man cannot be a witness. We say that we are going to be witness your divinity, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that you are the only power here, and I'm here to observe, I'm sent here to observe this power. We cannot let our ears and our eyes to be blocked by our ego. You cannot do that. It is not acceptable at all. I mean, you will actually punish your own self by closing yourself to this incredible treasure, beauty that he is opening in front of us and giving us the responsibility to watch it. You cannot close your eyes to that. You cannot close your ears to that. The faculties are given to us so that we can use them to experience his divinity. And you can only experience his divinity with the guidance of that light that is put in your heart as described in the surah. And there's a beautiful analogy, which is the reed flute. The reed flute is a bamboo. It's a straw. It doesn't have a life. It doesn't have a life. It has seven holes. It doesn't have a life. When does it become alive? It becomes alive when the musician, Nathan, blows into it. Then the sound is generated out of it. We came to existence, we became human being, we became alive when Allah Ta'ala breathed his own soul into us. Like the artist blew his breath into that flute. But that's not enough. I mean, it's extremely difficult to generate a sound from that reed flute. But to be able to generate a sound, harmonic sounds, that sounds that, that is beautiful, that is that everybody can listen and enjoy, to be able to create harmony, to be able to create harmony out of that straw, which was not alive and became alive after the bread is blown into it, those holes, those seven holes, have to be opened and closed harmonically. You have to know when to open and close those holes so that a beautiful sound is generated. Your holes, your seven holes, are your ears, your eyes, your nostrils, and your mouth. To be able to generate that beautiful harmony that we're supposed to generate, we have to know when to open and close the lips, eyes, ears, nostrils. These are our windows. Many scholars say that likens a human body to a country. You have to learn how to govern your own country before you actually start governing, claiming that you can do good things for others. Before you claim that you can govern other countries, countries of other people, govern your own country. If you cannot manage how to open and close those seven holes, when people look at you, they don't see harmony in you. They don't enjoy what they hear. They don't enjoy what they see. Like an untalented artist blowing into that flute and generating nothing. Meaning that you have to open your eyes when you're supposed to open. You have to close your eyes when you're supposed to close. You know, you have to open your eyes to take lessons. You have to close your eyes to the mistakes of others. If you close your eyes when you're supposed to take lessons, but open your eyes just for the mistakes of others, that doesn't generate something good. That doesn't benefit anyone. You have to open your ears to good advice. You have to close your ears to gossip. That brings harmony. That makes you human being. You have to... So my favorite hole of all in the flute is the bottom one. And you have to, you know, most of the time you have to keep it shut. That is your mouth. That's your tongue. You rarely use it. You watch an expert Naysan player. This is most of the time it's closed. Most of the time this is closed. It only opens when necessary. Use your tongue. When you say something, if it's going to benefit, speak. When you say something, if your words are not going to benefit anyone, better shut up. You're not benefiting anyone. This is really extremely important part of becoming human. Allah Ta'ala gives us these incredible faculties that you see. When you see, you see better than cameras. Really, honestly. You know, when you take a picture, our eyes are better than cameras. Our ears are better than analyze sounds, better than many receivers. Our brain process data faster than, process information faster than fastest computers. With all these capabilities, our responsibilities, learn how to use them. But the thing is that the animal self is occupying them more than we do. They are becoming the tools of our untamed, spoiled ego. We have to tame this untamed, spoiled ego so that we can claim our faculties back. Because I need those faculties. Without those faculties, I cannot observe and contemplate and see His existence. This is the reason why I'm here for. The second, really most important aspect of fasting, which is really what we call prime fasting, is really controlling your faculties. Abstaining from food, drinking, sexual intimacy. In addition, at the top of that, controlling your faculties. You have to learn how to use your eyes and ears and other faculties. You have to use your hand to give, not to steal. You have to use your hand to caress, not to hit. Without this, if you fast but not tell the truth, when you speak, you lie. When you speak, you gossip. But at the same time, you keep yourself hungry and thirsty. What benefit you would get, what you think you would get out of this? The reason why we are keeping ourselves hungry and thirsty because we are actually weakening that son of a gun, which is extremely powerful, untamed animal, which is weakened, so that we can actually attack, get the control back. Ultimately, fasting of the elite of the elite is really looking at everything. And once you fix your physical being, once you capture the control of your faculties, really the ultimate goal is one. When you look, you see His divinity behind everything, in everything. Really cleansing your heart from anything but Him. Anything that makes you think, anything that makes you remember Allah Ta'ala, you accept it. Ignore anything else. That is really the ultimate of fasting. Fasting, Allah Ta'ala says that fasting is, as a worship is for me, and I shall reward it. It's really extremely difficult to understand. There isn't anybody else, any other entity, divinity, that would give you a reward for anything. But why fasting takes fasting so personal is very important. Why fasting is for me and not others. All the other worship is really for your own benefit, but fasting is really, at the end of fasting, if you come to the level of this highest level, supreme fasting, then you open your heart to His divinity. You start observing Him. Once you start observing Him, once you start seeing His divinity, His divine manifestations, then you fulfill your responsibility as a human being. And that, He says, that's for me, because I created you so that you know me. That is being accomplished by the ultimate fast. And that is where we want to achieve eventually. Now, I think last year we talked about how a falcon is tamed. You may remember that. A falcon is a wild, really animal. It feeds on rats and insects and all kind of things that you cannot even imagine. Scorpions. A very arrogant animal. Has an incredible pride. Do you know how they tame falcon? Falcon does not recognize anything, but actually it follows its desires. What is attracting? What is attractive for falcon is the rats. What attracts falcon is the insects, is the scorpions. Falcon wants to go after them. To be able to train a falcon and to make a falcon friend of the owner, the first thing that they do is there's a falcon bag. They put from the head of a falcon bag. They put him into the darkness of this little space. And then with that falcon back, they carry him to a dark room. They tie him from his legs. Quite wild, isn't it? And then, in the darkness, the feet are tied. Eventually, falcon loses its hope that it will fly. it loses its hope. That it'll go out and chase after things that that he wishes for. Because to be able to test if he lost his hope, to be able to test that, they just give a little light. As soon as it actually starts moving, they shut it down. Until the time comes that they are convinced that falcon loses hope. There's no hope for the falcon. Falcon doesn't move because, even if he sees the light, even if he sees the possible that he can escape from that dark room, he does not do anything, no hope. He is convinced that. At that moment, see, this is, every one of us has a falcon in him or in her. Don't listen to this as a story. I'm talking about your falcon. I'm giving you hints how to tame your own falcon. And then when he loses the hope, what happens is that his owner approaches him with a sweet voice and gives him the clean food, the steak. The clean food is offered to falcon by his owner, by its owner, with a sweet voice. From that moment on, falcon realizes that the only way he can get the only way he can get the clean food is through the hands of its owner. He becomes friend. He attaches to his owner. He doesn't go anywhere unless his owner takes him. He does not eat anything unless his owner gives him. You know, that's the when at the time of fast breaking, you know, during the day we lose hope. I mean, not we. Our falcon, our untamed animal, during the day loses his hope that he will eat, he will drink, he will have sex, no hope. That lasts until sunset. When do you eat the first morsel of food? After you hear the azan. You hear the azan, you touch the food. Your falcon accepts that azan, what azan represents, the call for prayer, what that represents as the owner, voice of the owner. And then when the falcon eats from the hands of the owner, the falcon attaches. Your untamed self attaches to the owner. At that moment, at that very particular moment, because of the closeness that your lower self feels to the divine, you, not only your lower self, but also your whole being come closer. That is the fasting of the elite of the elite. There is nothing in their heart but God. Salam alaikum.